Good afternoon and welcome. Thanks for being with us. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall here in Studio B with my first guest, Maryland Commerce Secretary Harry Coker, Jr. He began his tenure as the Moore administration's point man for economic development last February. He's a former naval officer. He had a long career in intelligence and cybersecurity, serving for the last 2 years of the Biden administration as a principal advisor to the president on cybersecurity strategy and policy. Governor Wes Moore has long pointed to turning around the low rate of economic growth in the state of Maryland as a priority. His approach to accomplish that is to identify certain fields where Maryland can become a leading center. Those industries include cybersecurity along with quantum and AI. So we'll talk about all of that and the strategy moving forward with Secretary Harry Coker. Welcome to the show. It's nice to meet you.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here, and I cherish the opportunity to speak with you and your listeners. So, again, thank you.
We are glad to have you here. How do you see your mission? What is when you get up in the morning? What do you fire yourself up to do every day?
I am a career public servant. I did it for 20 years in the Navy, an additional 20 years in the intelligence community, and another almost 2 years at the White House. And I am blessed now to have my public service dedicated to the residents and businesses in the state of Maryland. So I am fired up to have the opportunity to positively impact Maryland's economic development, which hits every resident here and every business in this state. And frankly, it bleeds over into national impact as well. So just having the opportunity to have such a significant impact is what drives me every moment of every day.
Yeah, I'm going to be speaking with a colleague of yours, Portia Wu, who's the Secretary of Labor, in just a couple of days. I was interested to find that in the month of May, Maryland actually added jobs, 3,000 jobs. I mean, this is in the midst of federal employees being let go and terminated in large numbers. What do you make of that statistic?
First off, I'm glad Secretary Wu is coming on board. She is a great partner. I had the honor of meeting her in my last assignment, and I have the greater honor of working with her every day now as she leads the Department of Labor and I work at the Department of Commerce. But that statistic that you pointed out is the manifestation of a focused collaborative effort on the part of the Moore-Miller administration. It's tragic that so many of our citizens and residents in Maryland have lost their jobs in the federal sphere, and that includes federal civil servants as well as contractors supporting federal contracts. At the outset of the current administration in Washington, Maryland had nearly 160,000 federal civil servants residing in our great state. We had another roughly 220,000 residents who were working on federal contracts. Both of those numbers have been decreased drastically through no fault of those Maryland residents. But we have focused on growing our economy in transformative ways, and we have also focused on taking care of those now former federal employees from a personal standpoint, but also from a professional standpoint. They are skilled, they are driven, they're committed. And we have done our best to find places for them to land in the Maryland government and in businesses that are here in our state. So having the numbers that you cited, again, it shows that the path that we're on is positive, not just from an economic development perspective, but from a personal perspective of taking care of those federal employees and their families.
To grow the economy, which has really been stagnant for a number of years, being prior to the Moore administration, you know, taking office, but since then as well, it hasn't shot up by any means. I mean, we're talking about 2%, less than 2% growth for, you know, 8 or 10 years. We just heard just a day or two ago that given the tariff situation of the federal government and consumer spending that is down, the U.S. economy actually contracted 0.5% in the first quarter. The most economists expected it to contract about 0.2%, but it actually contracted 0.5%. So we've got this national trend going. But what do you see as the, you know, the sort of the key to turning that around? I mean, there were times when the national economy, the GDP was rising, you know, in double digits, and the Maryland economy was stuck at 2 point something or 1.5 point something economic growth. There was a big disparity between what was going on nationally and what was going on here in this state. I mean, 30,000 foot view. What's the general key to turning that around?
Good. You're spot on, Tom. Between 2017 and 2022, the national economy grew by over 11%. Maryland's economy grew by less than 4%. And that was a structural problem, structural. We took a look in the Moore Miller administration and knew that in order to address a structural problem, we needed structural solutions. And that means no longer being over-reliant on the fabulous, fabulous federal facilities that we have in our state, and that to include our military installations. My perspective is our state had become complacent on what we viewed as being a steady, non-ending, non-disrupted flow of federal dollars. And that complacency led us to the poor economic foundation that we had been on. Now, under the Moore and Miller administration, we have recognized the need to no longer be over-reliant on any one stream. An economy, a state's economy, and this goes to any state, should not be dependent upon who sits in the White House nor who controls Congress.
So we really do need to wean ourselves off of the federal, whatever you want to call it.
We need to be less reliant. We need to develop a robust, equitable, and competitive economy, which is what we're doing right now. That robust, equitable, sustainable, competitive economy means that we have to diversify our economy. We need to have strategic focus, and we need to work, amongst other things, in a public-private partnership. Reality is that public capital is becoming scarce nowadays. We need to look towards private capital as well. We need to have those public-private partnerships to help us transform our economic growth. And that transformation, just to give you where we are headed in Maryland, our strategic areas of focus are on three lighthouse sectors. And that name, lighthouse, is purposeful. Lighthouses show us the path forward. They show us the way ahead to safety. And that's what we're doing. And the first of our lighthouse sectors comes from the technology industry, and it's quantum, artificial intelligence, and it also includes cybersecurity. And those are areas where Maryland already has a comparative advantage in technology. If you look at our federal installations, our great universities, so that's why we're focused on that, number one, and we could talk more in detail about quantum, artificial, and cybersecurity momentarily. The second lighthouse sector comes from the life sciences industry, another industry that Maryland is already ahead of most of the nation. And within that life sciences industry, we are focused on computational biology, computational health, taking a deeper look with mathematical analysis at larger and larger data sets. Think long-term, precision medicine, personalized health, advanced biotech, medtech. That's the aim of that second lighthouse sector. And the third lighthouse sector comes from the aerospace and defense industry, and its position, navigation, and timing, also known as PNT. Think autonomous vehicles, robotics, and also a part of that that's often overlooked is assured PNT. In a conflict, the global positioning system and other PNT systems are vulnerable. Assured PNT is a part of our focus on that third lighthouse sector.
How much does geography play into this? Which is to say, if we're talking about quantum and AI and that sort of thing, I mean, the computational center of the world seems to have been Silicon Valley for an awfully long time. You know, the IT people are concentrated in California. Is the proximity to Washington, even though the federal dollars are certainly, you know, drying up to the extent that they used to, you know, used to flow more freely, but is the fact that we are you know, proximate to Washington, D.C., an advantage in any of those areas you've just mentioned, you know, computational biology, et cetera? I mean, you know, the Defense Department, the Pentagon is, you know, right over there in Virginia. I mean, do we have any advantage being on the right coast as opposed to the left coast of the country?
Yes. Our geography is an advantage on multiple fronts. First off, as we like to say, Washington, D.C. is a suburb of Maryland. And Washington, D.C. and the surrounding area, this capital region, still has the multitude of federal policy making centered right here. And businesses, for all the right reasons, want to have better access to policymakers. This capital region is a place to do that. And many of those fine federal facilities are located right here in Maryland. So that's the first thing, the proximity to federal policymakers. Secondly, proximity to the talent that goes into and comes out of those federal facilities. Again, tragically, too much talent is leaving those federal facilities now. The silver lining that we always look for is that those talented federal employees, those talented contractors on federal contractual vehicles are now available to Maryland businesses. And that's another great thing about our geography. The other point on our geography is logistically, the Port of Baltimore and the Maryland area, literally within one day's drive, one can get to one-third of the population of America. If you just look at the eastern seaboard and follow I-95 from Florida on up to Maine, we are in an ideal position logistically from a company's perspective as well.
Harry Coker Jr. is my guest. He's the Commerce Secretary of the State of Maryland. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. If you have a question or comment for the Secretary of Commerce, our number here at Midday, 410-662-8780. You can email us, midday@wipr.org. So who's our competition? Because Virginia has proximity to those same folks you're talking about and those same policymakers. There are other places in the Mid-Atlantic region that have proximity. Who do we need to beat out to land some of these companies and land some of these contracts?
Well, competition. The nation's economy is in a precarious situation right now across the country. So we need all of our states to do well from an economic perspective. Maryland is very comfortable with what we have to offer. Our assets are not surpassed in terms of, again, our proximity to policymakers, our geography regarding logistics, the talented workforce from those that have been affiliated with the federal government, but also from our more than 50 certified colleges and universities, from our dominance in the cybersecurity industry and our emerging dominance in quantum. We have, again, unsurpassed assets. But I also have to say, we want all states to have successful economies because our nation needs that. One can look at companies when they are looking for where to land, where to grow and expand as free agents, if you will. They're looking for the best deal possible. If we were to use a sports analogy, and first I'll acknowledge that no analogy is perfect, but companies can be free agents. We are confident and comfortable that if a company takes a look at Maryland and its assets, they're going to get to the right answer. It's been just so comforting for us because we don't have to do what I've seen some of these competitors do, come up with commercials about how good they are. We don't do commercials like that. Maryland is more like a documentary. We just lay out the facts. And if a company looks at the facts, looks at our documentary as opposed to an embellished commercial from another jurisdiction, they're going to land right here. 3 weeks ago, we were in Europe, and we were in Ireland. And actually, there are more than 100, and there are roughly 130 Ireland-based companies in Maryland. And one of those companies was talking to some Irish colleagues, and we were there, but he would have said, come to the same conclusion publicly that he did. He said, when he looked at Maryland, in this case, it was Frederick, Maryland, he said he was not nearly concerned about the financial incentives that some states have offered him, because he said the cultural fit in Maryland, and in particular Frederick, was what swayed him to come to Maryland.
The cultural fit, meaning the culture of his company?
And the more important,
or the culture of the entire
of Frederick, Maryland. It was a match. As you know, we need, individuals and companies need to have a good fit culturally, or there will be issues. That founder said that his company's culture fit right with the culture in Frederick, Maryland. And that's why he landed there. That's why he's looking to expand there. My point is, any company that takes a look at Maryland is going to feel comfortable with what we have to offer, and we stand on that.
Republicans in the legislature this past session complained that the budget that was ultimately passed by the General Assembly lessened, it attenuated the business climate in the state of Maryland. There were taxes that were implemented on digital services and services between business, pass-through income. There were delaying cuts in spending that could have been made. And in fact, we've just heard last week that the governor has made a hiring freeze for all state employees. I wonder how that affects the Department of Commerce, whether you have the workforce you need to do the work that you need to do. And of course, the state has three credit rating agencies, and one of them decided to downgrade by one level the state's credit rating. So what do you say to the argument that says that, you know, we're not as competitive as we need to be, and that there are other there are reasons for some businesses who are even currently here to move themselves out of Maryland into neighboring jurisdictions because where the business climate is not conducive to business?
Well, we are and will remain very, very competitive. And that's fact. If you look at the amount of business retention and recruitment that we've had, we're on a good path. With our focus on these lighthouse sectors and the economic development strategy that we have laid out, we're on a good path. We're confident that that will continue. Now, the reality of the situation, where you started with your question, the General Assembly and the administration have tough choices to make between revenue, spending, and investment. We've got to strike the right balance on that. And what we have asked companies to consider, take a look at the total package. It's easy and it's popular to take a look at the tax situation here from a business perspective, but we ask that companies take a look at everything across the board: business taxes, personal taxes, property taxes, and when they do that, they'll see a balance that makes Maryland look good. An example, right now, Maryland is expanding the cyber ranges at 16 community colleges, the 16 community colleges across our state. Well, a company should ask every state, what are you doing on cyber ranges? Do all of your community colleges have cyber ranges? Rhetorical question, because the answer is no. But for Maryland, that answer is yes. And why is cyber ranges important? Every industry in every state needs cybersecurity. Maryland is working to be cyber ready and to have a cyber workforce going forward. And that's
and this is an area, by the way, that, you know, you have a lot of experience in because you came from the cybersecurity universe.
Yes.
How does Maryland stack up against other places when it comes to cybersecurity? I mean, you worked in the Biden White House as an advisor on this very issue.
Yes, and I'll go back to the question you had about geography. Maryland is blessed to be the home of the National Security Agency, the U.S. Cyber Command, the Defense Information Systems Agency, DISA, and the National Institute of Standards and Technology, NIST. Those four entities are powerhouses. They are essential to the nation's cybersecurity. Given that they are all four in Maryland and the talent that is there, and then when those talented folks retire or resign for whatever reason, many of them make their homes in Maryland and start cybersecurity businesses in our state. So Maryland is ahead of most states when it comes to cybersecurity. But again, cybersecurity touches on every state, county, and local community in our nation. And Maryland wants every state, county, and local community in the United States to be cyber secure. We are blessed to have that talent here, and our Department of IT is on top of that with a new CISO who's recently on board from the federal government. We are postured to continue our leadership in cybersecurity, but we are not myopic. We know every state needs to be successful in cybersecurity and, frankly, economic prosperity.
When you take these trips to Ireland, you and the governor were in Asia earlier this year talking to companies there. What are you hearing from them? What are the questions that they're raising that you have to answer? What are the barriers that they see that you have to, you know, be ready to respond to? And is taxes one of them? Because the Republicans would tell you taxes are a big one. Is that actually true when you're having these meetings?
It's actually tariffs that have been in front of taxes when it comes to discussions with our international partners. But I'll tell you, Tom, on one party saying one thing and another party saying another thing, I've been a public servant for all of my adult life, and I've been apolitical for all of my public service. And some folks said, well, you're in the White House, you had to be political, and you're in the administration, you have to be political. No, I don't. I do what's best for America and what's best for Maryland and our citizens and our residents. I am becoming used to the political partisanship, but I'm not going to become a part of it. Nevertheless, questions from our international partners during the Asia trade mission to Japan and South Korea, many expressed concerns about tariffs, but they also expressed concerns about having a consistent, well-thought-out, trustworthy partnership. And that's where the Maryland delegation was very, very successful. In Japan and South Korea, it was encouraging to see how comforted, frankly, those government officials and their senior private sector officials were with the Maryland delegation that was led by Governor Moore. They knew and they know that they have a strong partner that will listen to them and that they can trust, and that will have leadership that will bring us closer together. The concept of subnational diplomacy, frankly, where Maryland is led by is driven by our mission, but we're led by our values. And our international partners appreciate that we're mission-driven and values-led. That is key. They can trust us. They can rely on us. And that's why they are looking at and strengthening the partnership between their respective countries and the state of Maryland.
And as a layperson who doesn't, work in the commerce and the economic development sector, it seems that you got two things that you got to balance. You've got to have that trust. You've got to make sure they want to do business with you. You want to make sure that you have an environment that they're happy to be in. But sometimes you got to come up with some money, and you've got to when we talk about these public-private partnerships, given the fact that the federal dollars are not flowing in anywhere near the rate that they used to flow, and the state itself is in a moment of contraction, and we're offering buyouts to employees now at this point. We're freezing all hiring across state agencies. We're looking for savings anywhere we can get them because we're addressing a $3 billion structural deficit. In that environment, what kind of subsidies, what kind of incentives are we able, as a practical matter, to offer to some of these companies who are expecting it? Because there's a lot of places around the country that are fairly free with that kind of thing.
Yes, and first off, I want to acknowledge you being accurate on capital. Capital from a public sector has become more scarce. That's a fact. And we have to recognize, which we have done in Maryland, that public sector capital is more challenging and scarce nowadays. That's one of the reasons why we are focused on enhancing public-private partnerships, and that does include private capital. We recognize the need for that infusion of private sector capital. In fact, we have spent time with the venture capital community, and at their outreach, actually, at the outset, they had heard about Maryland's economic development roadmap. They had heard about the lighthouse sectors, and they approached us about investment opportunities. And what we were delighted about is many of those in the venture capital community recognized that they can do good, have some public service, but also do well in terms of their return on investment. So they can do good and they can do well. And that's why they came to Maryland. We opened up our portfolio of potential investment opportunities and explain that to them. We'll continue to do that going forward. Hiring freeze, incentives, one thing that folks count on, Maryland is going to have a smart government. Our decisions are based on data and analysis, not public opinion. It's what we think is best for our residents.
All right. Well, we are delighted that you've taken the time to share your perspective, and we'll stay in touch for sure.
I look forward to it, Tom. And again, thank you for the opportunity.
Harry Coker, Jr., he is the Secretary of Commerce for the state of Maryland. And up next, not too long after his inauguration, President Trump cleaned house at the John F. Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts, firing the board chair, David Rubenstein. He's also the owner of the Orioles, and the president of the center, Deborah Rutter. I'll speak with Deborah Rutter on the other side of a quick break. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.
You're listening to Midday on 88.1 WIPR, Baltimore's NPR news station.